Mr. President?
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Today's chaplain is the Reverend Phil Gotch from our Redeemer Lutheran Church in St. Paul.
Good morning. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of being with you just for this brief moment. I was just having a conversation about the fact that I so appreciate what you do. I have worked with some of you on various projects, and I know how hard you work and that you're not thanked often enough as a constituent and a citizen of Minnesota. I'm going to start by saying thank you very much for the hard work you do. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for every opportunity to be thankful people by giving our lives over to serving others. And so we ask your blessing and protection upon each person here this morning, your blessing and help for all the hard decisions that are made. We ask you to bless and protect and help the state of Minnesota and the United States. We ask you to bless and protect and help the human family everywhere. Amen.
To the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzel, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Neville, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Parasol, Pogemiller, Pretner, Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Spark, Stump, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, and Wieger. A quorum is present.
Quorum is present. First order of business, reports of committees. They're printed on today's agenda, the reports of committees. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move that the reports of committees be printed, the reports of committees printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next order of business is second reading of House bills. There are two that are printed on today's agenda without objection. Second reading of House bills. The next order of business is motions and resolutions. There are a number of authors' motions without objection. We'll take them as one motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. A couple of resolutions on the agenda today. Without objection, the resolutions will be referred to the Rules Committee. The next order of business. Staying on motions and resolutions, we're going to take up the calendar for today. Again, I'll remind you once, there will be votes taken here, about eight of them, and I believe they'll come in kind of fast motion here, so stay seated and be sure you're voting. The first bill on the calendar will be Senate file number 1363. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1363, a bill for an act relating to utilities regulating payment agreements for undercharges.
Secretary will take the roll. Okay. All right, this will probably be the only bill we're going to wait just a second on, then we're going to go pretty fast. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 52 ayes and 0 nays. The bill is passed and it's title agreed to. Now, the next bill on the calendar will be Senate File 1098. Secretary will give Senate File 1098 its third reading.
Senate File 1098, a bill for an act relating to counties, providing a process for making the Office of County Recorder appointive in Beltrami County.
Secretary will take the roll. Check the board if you're. I can see a couple of people here that aren't registered. The secretary will close the roll. There being 54 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The third bill on the calendar will be Senate File 1396. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1396, a bill for an act relating to municipal planning and zoning, clarifying the determination of fair market value in certain dedication proceedings.
Secretary will take the roll. Senator Rosen. Secretary will close the roll before that. Bach votes aye. There being 53 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on number 4 on the calendar, Senate File 1017. Secretary will give Senate File 1017, its third reading.
Senate File 1017, a bill for an act relating to local government, increasing charter commission expense limitations for certain cities.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll, or be at 56 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed, and its title agreed to. Number 5 on the calendar, Senate File 420. Secretary will give the Senate File 420 its third reading.
Senate File 420, a bill for an act relating to natural resources, providing for pest control measures, requiring approved firewood on land administered by the Commissioner of Natural Resources.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 54 ayes and 5 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar is number 6 on the calendar, Senate File 1201. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1201, a bill for an act relating to traffic regulations, increasing single vehicle length limit.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There will be 58 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill, calendar number 7, Senate File 2034. The Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2034, a bill for an act relating to state government, enhancing utilization of Minnesota milestones, requiring a report.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be at 60 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. Now, the last bill on the calendar for the morning today is number 8, Senate File number 69. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 69, a bill for an act relating to commerce, prohibiting expiration dates and service fees on gift certificates and gift cards.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 43 ayes and 16 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Still under motions, we'll go to Senator Pogamiller to the consent calendar for the day. We're on the consent calendar. There will be votes on these two, and there's one, two, three of them on today's calendar. The first bill on the consent calendar be Senate File 1787, Senator Latz.
Mr. President, members, this bill would simply require the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to provide some information, basically reiterating the status of medical claimants that are injured in connection with their railroad work. These are federally covered workers. Their claims are dealt with under federal law, yet apparently there is some confusion and also some concern about the use or misuse of the medical records where these claimants are being treated as if they are making claims under the Minnesota Workers' Compensation Law, and information is being disclosed to a variety of parties as if it were being handled under Minnesota Workers' Compensation Law, where under federal law it's not required nor necessary to disclose that information, including information to employers. So in order to clarify to the medical providers and others involved in this system that the information need not be disclosed, the bill requires that the information be distributed once again to all the parties involved so they know which law applies and what information does or does not have to be disclosed. This matter passed committee without dissent on a bipartisan basis, and I would appreciate your support.
The discussion on Senate File 1787, seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 1787, a bill for an act relating to workers' compensation, requiring the Commissioner of Labor and Industry to provide information regarding federal exclusions from state workers' compensation coverage, requiring a report.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The next bill on the consent calendar, number 3, be House File 47, or excuse me, back up. Next bill on the consent calendar be number 2, House File, is it a House File?
Yeah.
House File number 878, Senator Gimsey.
Mr. President, members, this is an agency bill that would include or add, if you will, the Agriculture, Natural Resources, and Health Commissioners to the Board of Animal Health as a non-voting consultant. These members typically currently attend the quarterly board meetings, but now this would make it a requirement for them.
Any further discussion? Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 878, a bill for an act relating to agriculture, authorizing the Commissioner of Agriculture to serve as a consultant to the Board of Animal Health.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators, having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The third and final bill on the consent calendar this morning will be number 3, House File 472. Senator Sharon.
Mr. President, this is a bill that would extend the application time from January 1st, 2000. Five to March 1st, 2005, in order to allow for an applicant who applied inadequate time for the renewable energy production incentive to have access to that program. Because Mr. Arnold had gone through all of the processes for permitting in time and, in fact, had submitted his application form by December 22nd of 2004, well in advance of the time that the application was necessary. But it was damaged in the mail and returned to Mr. Arnold. So what this bill will do is allow for that date to be extended, allow for his turbine to be eligible for the renewable energy production incentive. This has been reviewed by the Department of Commerce and supported, and I'm hoping that the Senate will support this.
Further discussion on House File 472. Seeing none, the Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 472, a bill for an act relating to energy extending eligibility period for certain renewable energy production incentives.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, Secretary will close the roll. In 61 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Pogemiller, under motion. Senator Pogemiller, did you wish to resolve into the Committee of the Whole?
Why don't we take up one confirmation today first? So I'd move that we take up the confirmation calendar and deal with Board of Judicial Standards.
Okay, we're still on motions. Senator Moi.
Mr. President, I move that the report from the Committee on Judiciary reported February 28, 2007, pertaining to appointments be taken from the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Ma.
Mr. President, I move that the foregoing report be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Ma.
Mr. President, I move that in accordance with the report from the Committee on Judiciary reported February 28, 2007, the Senate, having given its advice, do now consent to and confirm the appointment of Douglas A. Fuller to the Board on Judicial Standards.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Senator Bois.
Mr. President, the Board on Judicial Standards investigates allegations of misconduct by Minnesota judges and referees and recommends discipline to the Minnesota Supreme Court, including censure, suspension, retirement, and removal of judges. The Board consists of 10 members appointed by the governor, including one judge of the Court of Appeals, three trial court judges, two attorneys with at least 10 years of experience in the state, and four public members. Mr. Fuller was a member of the Minnesota House from 1999 to 2005 and served on the Judiciary Policy and Finance Committee during that time. Mr. Fuller was appointed as a public member. The committee has seen that he will be a very productive member on that board, and so we ask for his confirmation.
Moi. Motion to confirm Douglas Fuller. But we're not going to do that. On the motion to confirm, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, just a heads up, I think tomorrow we'll take up the Board of Trustees on state colleges and universities, higher education facilities, Commissioner of Public Safety, and I think the Board of Arts. I'm not quite sure why we didn't do that today. So then, Mr. President, I would move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
I guess I'm told we have to lay the Department of...
Mr. President, I would move that...
Public safety on the table.
I'd move that the Judiciary Committee report on the Department of Public Safety be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, then I would renew my motion. The Senate do now resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The chair appoints Senator Frederickson to chair the Committee of the Whole.
Thank you. Is this on your desk? Yeah. Mr. Chairman,
the committee will be in order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, there's a list of the general orders for April 16th, beginning list, on your desk, starting with Senate File 2043. And members, we will be perusing. Remember, today we're going to go for lunch at about 12:30 till 2, and so there'll be another list coming out in the next hour or so. So I'd yield to Senator Youngbauer.
The committee has before it number 96 on general orders, Senate File 2043. The chair recognizes Senator Youngbauer.
Mr. Chair, I move that when the committee do arise, Senate File 2043 be recommended to pass.
Senator Youngbauer, on that motion.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate File 2043 comes to us from the city of Anoka. Members, within Statute 469.003, a mayor of a city is allowed to present for approval his request for people to be on the city HRA, the Housing Redevelopment Authority. Also under 469.003, there is no method by which, if the council does not approve those names submitted, for the mayor to then resubmit more names. And within Anoka, we have that problem right now where we've got expired terms. The council has voted for, against, and the mayor being the only one voting in favor of the continuation of the people that are serving on the HRA. So, members, what we have is kind of a Mexican standoff. Now, I think, members, the whole statute needs to be fixed to allow that if the council does not approve these names put forth by the mayors, that there would be a method by which the mayor would have to submit new names. But in the committee, my original bill was amended to only include the city of Anoka at this point. And this would take care of the problem, members, that if we pass Senate File 2043 and its accompanying bill in the House side, the City of Anoka, a home rule charter city, would be allowed to amend its charter to allow that if the council did not approve the names put forth by the mayor, that the mayor would then have to put more names forth. And I would stand for questions.
Chair recognizes Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to speak in support of this bill. The folks in Anoka HRA, and that while no longer my constituents, still sought to come back and talk to me about this. I've talked with Senator Jungbar on the bill, and it responds to the questions that I had, and I would urge members to support this.
Chair recognizes Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've carried similar bills previously to assist our development authority in the City of Minneapolis to make some changes and the like. But my only question to Senator Jungbauer, I just want to make sure this is a problem that does have to be resolved at the legislature. This is not something that the local authority can solve from themselves within their own established authority.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Dibble, no, the legislature does have to resolve this problem. It is under Minnesota Statute 469.003, which states clearly the method by which the mayor must put forth the names, and it states clearly that they must be approved by the council, but it has a lack of any language that states if the council does not approve those names put forth by the mayor, what do you do in that event? So we do need to amend the statutes. As I said, I believe it should be amended to include all cities that are under this HRA statute, but due to the short amount of time we have this year, it was the committee's will to only amend it for the City of Anoka this year.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 2043? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Opposed? The motion carries. The committee has before it now number 8 on general orders, Senate File 1165. Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1165 be recommended to pass. Senate File 1165 is in regard to public meetings being held in remote locations. So it's a modification to the open meeting law. And this bill has come forward through a joint effort of AMC, LMC, and the Minnesota School Boards Association. It's a preemptive bill in case of something like a pandemic flu epidemic or a natural disaster or some kind of a disaster that the governor would call an emergency. So it would allow for public meetings of county boards, school boards, or city councils to be held in remote locations as long as the members of those committees could communicate via telephone or some kind of means where their voice could be heard, whether it be a remote satellite or video conferencing. So it's basically a bill to anticipate what might happen if there's a pandemic flu, so public meetings could be held in remote locations. So I would stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on Senate File 1165? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Committee has before it now number 13 on general orders, Senate File 504. Chair recognizes Senator Torres Ray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that Senate File 504 on general orders be stricken and re-referred to the Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection.
Senator Torres Ray, I think you need to precede that with when this committee do arise, you move. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'm a little confused about the process. This bill has been moved, so I am not requesting a vote, and I'm going to explain the reason.
Okay.
So I don't know the
Senator
procedure.
Torres Ray, proceed.
I still have to do it. Okay. I apologize about that. I move that when this committee do rise, Senate File 504 be recommended to pass.
No.
No.
She wants to strike it and send it back to Commerce. Senator Torres Ray, I think your motion should be that it be re-referred back to the Committee on Commerce. Is that what you want to happen?
That is correct. That's what I read at the beginning. Do I read that again, Mr. Chair?
No.
Okay.
Senator, we have the right motion.
Okay.
Members, Senator Torres Ray has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 504 be stricken from general orders and re-referred to the Committee on Commerce. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
On the next one, Senator Limmer wants temporary progress and take up later.
And members on our list, Senator Limmer has requested that Senate File 241, number 18, be progressed and taken up later in the day. So the committee has before it now number 20 on general orders, Senate File 1597. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 1597 relates to the State Employee Combined Charities Campaign. As many of you know, it is a consolidated annual effort that encourages employees to contribute to charities serving Minnesotans. To participate, organizations have to apply to the Commissioner of Employee Relations and submit information demonstrating that they meet the criteria for the registration that's specified in law. What the bill does today is to remove provisions regarding the campaign from the Attorney General's Charities Law and places the language in Chapter 43A. So if you take a look at the bill, you'll see that it looks like there's a lot of new language, but then there is a lot of language that's repealed. The reason for that is the movement from one section of the law to the other. The Office of the Attorney General is in agreement that it is a more appropriate place to have the combined charities law or combined charities campaign law for rather than in the Attorney General's office. It also eliminates some unnecessary and duplicative requirements and makes some other technical changes. And I would stand for questions.
Senator Rest, would you make the motion to that when this committee do arise?
Mr. President, Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1597 be recommended to pass.
Okay. Thank you. Any discussion on Senate File 1597? Discussion on Senate File 1597? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 31 on general orders, Senate File 1675. The chair recognizes Senator Lorie. Senator Lorie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1675 be recommended to pass.
Senator Lorie, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This was a bill brought to me by the Department of Military Affairs. It is really a little bit of an extension to the allowed uses of the Support Our Troops license plate funds. There's been a few instances which arise. Right now, the funds are restricted only to grants provided to active military, and there's been some individuals who have, as a direct result of active military service, they've been called up and maybe had and quit their jobs and maybe had a medical issue arise so that they couldn't be deployed or had an injury and had to be sent home. So they've been placed in a situation of economic hardship directly related to their active military service, but they no longer are actually active military service. And so we wanted to expand the ability of the Department of Military Affairs to authorize a grant for these individuals who, again, have a extreme hardship directly due to their military service. This bill passed out of the Ag and Vet Affairs Committee without controversy, and we know of no opposition to this bill. Thank you.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1675? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of adopting Senate File 1675 indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Committee has before it now number 34 on general orders, Senate File 683, Senator Erickson Ropes.
Mr. President and members, I move that when this committee do arise, that the Senate File 683 be recommended to pass.
Senator Erickson Ropes on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a bill having to do with commissary privileges at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. And when the employees either volunteer or are mandated to work a second shift, we would like to pass permission for them to be able to have free meals at the commissary. This was brought to us by the Minneapolis Veterans Home Board, and they've worked out an agreement with employees. Currently in statute, they are not allowed to offer free meals to the employees. In this particular situation, we're asking for permission be given.
Is there a discussion on Senate File 683? Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Erickson Ropes. I'm trying to recall. I know we had this in committee. We talked a little bit about it, and I can't just help me refresh my memory, but I know we talked a little bit about that this is usually something that is subject to negotiation between the employment group and the management. And can you just help me to remember what is the reason why we want to do something that might appear to be the legislature taking a position on a matter that would be otherwise bargained?
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Hand, thank you very much for the question. I'd be happy to clarify it is not a contract negotiating issue. This simply gives them permission to go ahead and offer a meal. They're not required to offer a meal. In statute right now, they are not allowed to even offer a meal.
Further discussion on Senate File 683? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor that when this committee do arise, Senate File 683 be recommended to pass, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 59, and I see the senator has temporarily stepped out of the chambers, so will temporarily progress Senate File 1266. Senate has before it now number 63 on general orders, Senate File 1338. Chair recognizes Senator Sharon.
Mr. Chairman, I rise. I move that Senate File 1338, when this committee do arise, that it be recommended to pass.
Senator Sharon, on that motion.
Members of the Senate, this is a bill that authorizes a public safety answering point to notify the public of an emergency. This kind of emergency that this could be useful in is a tornado or a flood, or if there's a chemical spill like anhydrous ammonia. It could also be used to alert people when there's an escape from the security hospital in St. Peter or an Amber Alert. The change that occurs is that in the past, the 911 numbers have been used to return calls to persons who were calling a calling point in an emergency. This reverses it and allows the calling point to inform the public of an emergency. What's really interesting about this new kind of technology is that when you use this computerized system, you can circle an area on a map that might be affected by the tornado or the flood or by any of these activities and make very specific calls to those homeowners alerting them to the issue. So that is the essence of the bill, and I'm hoping the Senate will support this.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1338? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. As many as are the opinion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1338 be recommended to pass, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The Senate has before it now number 36 on general orders, Senate file 1051. The chair recognizes Senator Moore.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate File 1051 puts into law the Uniform Environment Covenants Act. This is a bill that has been passed once before, I believe, in this body. We've had a number of different types of environment laws in place. In the last several years, there's been an attempt to try to impose some uniformity so that the state of Minnesota can be in the same position as some of the other states across the country. A number of stakeholders who work in this area have been working, and this is just codifying into putting into our laws uniformity in the environmental laws that we have in place. So, Mr. Chair and members, it seems like it's a long bill, but it basically just takes a number of our environmental laws that are in place, puts it into one area, codifies into the Uniform Environmental Covenants Act. I would stand for questioning if anybody has any specific questions.
Senator Ma, we're not sure if you made the motion at the beginning of your explanation, so would you do that now just to make certain?
Mr. Chair, I apologize. Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1051 be recommended to pass.
Thank you. Is there discussion on Senate File 1051? Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, Senator Ma renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1051 be recommended to pass. As many are in favor of that motion, indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. And Senator Ma, I think we'll revert to number 59 on general orders, Senate File 1266, Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1266 be recommended to pass.
Senator Pappas, on that motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This bill will guarantee that victims of sexual assault the same high quality of health care that we offer all Minnesotans by requiring all hospital emergency rooms to provide emergency contraception and sexually transmitted infection treatment to any victim that turns to them for help. Currently, only about 40% of Minnesota emergency rooms provide EC, or emergency contraception, on a consistent basis. Members, just as a reminder, EC works by preventing pregnancy before it occurs. EC is not an abortion pill and will have no effect on an existing pregnancy. EC is a high dose of regular hormonal birth control pills, and EC is currently available over the counter to people over 18 years. In the area of sexually transmitted infections, victims will not know if they are infected for several weeks, and many victims will not follow up for treatment because they don't want to be examined again. Undiagnosed and untreated sexually transmitted infections can lead to long-term damage such as sterility and cancer. In the bill, in Section 2 of the bill is the section on emergency care to female sexual assault victims. And it states that it shall be the standard of care for all hospitals to provide this emergency care, to provide each victim with medically and factual accurate and unbiased written and oral information, to orally inform each female sexual assault victim of the option of being provided with emergency contraception, and if the victim desires to immediately provide emergency contraception. A hospital may administer a pregnancy test, and if the pregnancy test is positive, then the hospital has the option of not complying with these provisions. However, as I said, this is not an abortion pill. It will have no effect on an existing pregnancy. We also require in Subdivision 2 that it's the standard of care for all hospitals to provide each sexual assault victim with factually accurate and unbiased written and oral medical information about prophylactic antibiotics for treatment of sexually transmitted diseases, to orally inform each victim of the option of being treated at the hospital, and to immediately treat the victim if requested. Mr. Chairman, that's all the bill does, and I would ask for the member's support.
Is there a discussion on Senate File 1266? Hearing no discussion, Senator Pappas has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1266 be reckoned to pass. As many as support that motion, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Where is Senate Law? The next two... The committee has before it now number 50 on general orders, Senate File 984, Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 984 be recommended to pass.
Senator Moi, on that motion.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is a one-sentence bill that's pretty simple. It basically says that the Commissioner of Public Safety will not implement any Minnesota statutes to comply with the Federal Real ID Act. Senator Jungbauer and Senator Vandeveer are both co-authors with me on this. It's not an issue that's unique to the state of Minnesota. It is an issue that has caused a lot of problems for states all across the country. There are currently 36 states that have legislation either in play or binding resolutions or statutes that have passed already. The Federal Real ID Act has been a real problem. They haven't been able to, not only does the federal government not want to fully fund its implementation, but they have not even finished their rulemaking process yet. And so to expect the state of Minnesota and our vehicle services division to have to come up with rules by May of 2008 to implement something that the federal government haven't even have their act together, I think it's unrealistic, and it is putting an unnecessary and unrealistic burden on the state. I will yield to either Senator Jungbauer or Senator Vandeveer if they wish to also speak on the issue.
Is there discussion on Senate File 984? Hearing no further discussion, Senator Moi has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 984 be recommended to pass. As many as of the opinion that that motion prevail, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Chair has, the committee has before it now number 51 on general orders, Senate File 1296. The chair recognizes Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1296 be recommended to pass.
Senator Moi, on that motion.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate File 1296 speaks to one implementation and reporting, and another is just a reporting from the Department of Transportation. I've worked closely with the Department of Transportation on putting the reporting requirements together. One just asks that the department fully use or try to use up to the allowable amount of federal funds to set that the federal government has historically permitted for states to do job training in the state on federal programs, and then it asks for the department to report to the legislature on how those funds are being used. The department has indicated that they would like to do more, but it is a project that is ramping up, and so they've agreed to work on that. And then the second piece of it is that the department has been under a lot of changes, and they have been trying to comply with the disadvantaged business participation in a lot of our MnDOT projects. And the second requirement just asks that they report back to the legislature on how they're doing in terms of working with disadvantaged businesses.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1296? Is there any discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Moss moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1296 be reckoned to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 44 on general orders, Senate File 1857. The chair recognizes Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just asked if there was a possibility of progressing this bill. Is that okay? Can I progress it?
Senator Anderson, would you like temporary progress?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would request that.
Senator Anderson requested progress. Progress granted.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, we're putting together another list of items to take up. You're moving so quickly. But I wonder, why don't we take up number 119 on general orders so we can have Senator Anderson take up a bill, even though she progressed that one. And members will note it's House File 293, and there's a folder, an unofficial engrossment of the House language in your under your desk, but we're taking up, it'll be House File 293, but it will be the Senate language. And I'd like to yield to Senator Anderson.
The committee has before it number 119 on general orders, House File 293. The chair recognizes Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. House File 293 is the funding bill for the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources, which is now an annual process to have recommendations from the LCCMR, which consists of legislators and citizens who work together to make recommendations for spending dollars from lottery proceeds. And the dollars are required by Constitution to go to this purpose and to be allocated for environmental and natural resource projects. This bill has gone through the Environment Finance Division as well as the full Finance Committee. And I'll try to just describe it briefly. It has a total of $23,366,000 in appropriations. And I should remind members that last year we changed the structure of the LCMR as it was changed to the LCCMR and made some modifications that included trying to streamline and speed up the process of for the public who's and groups that are applying for funding so that we would do it on an annual basis instead of a biennial basis. And part of what we're trying to do is streamline it, make it go faster, and make the system more accessible to the public. In previous years, the LCCMR bill, or the LCMR bill, as it used to be called, was combined with the Environment Finance bill. And now we've separated it, and we'd like to pass it ahead of the other budget bills. That's part of the commitment that all of the LCCMR members made. And I should recognize the other Senate members of the commission are Senator Chaudhry, Senator Parisot, Senator Fredrickson, and Senator Vickerman, who's standing in as I think has been appointed as Senator Sam's replacement. So this year what we did is narrow down our two categories which we would fund to the areas of land protection and water quality. And in the land protection area, we've done a lot of work on this in the past and did not issue an RFP. Instead, we reviewed projects that have been previously funded and did recommend allocating dollars to some of those previously funded projects, which I will briefly name for you. And then in the water quality area, we did an RFP, and so we have a range of innovative and some familiar and some new projects that are funded under the area of water quality. In the area of land protection, we funded forest legacy conservation easements. We continued funding for the Minnesota Habitat Corridors Partnership and the Metro Conservation Corridors Partnership, which have been very successful programs. We also funded prairie management on private prairie lands, state parks and trails land acquisition, metropolitan regional parks land acquisition, and non-metropolitan regional parks and scenic area acquisitions. We funded the LAWCON Federal Reimbursement Program, biological control of some invasive species such as European buckthorn and garlic mustard, and reed canary grass. Under the water programs, we funded,
Members, it's getting difficult for members to hear Senator Anderson's explanation. Would you please take conversations outside or lower the volume just a little bit? And Senator Anderson, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In the water quality area, I'll just briefly name the different projects that we funded. I'd be happy to take any questions if people would like to know more details. We continued funding for local water management challenge grants for protection of rare and unique rock outcrop wetlands, for a study on or research on land retirement effects on the water quality in the Minnesota River Basin and streams, demonstrating the benefits of conservation grasslands on water quality, a science museum project, improve river quality monitoring using hyperspectral remote sensing by airplanes, evaluating riparian timber harvesting guidelines research at the University of Minnesota, spring shed mapping for trout stream management, an innovative lakeshore zoning program in Cass County high sensitivity areas of shoreland, a number of programs related to groundwater protection, the geologic survey, impact of climate change on Minnesota's water resources, a continuing research program from the University of Minnesota Duluth, research on pharmaceutical and microbiological pollution in our waters, as well as threats of emerging contaminants to walleye from endocrine disruptors in the Mississippi. We funded the Cedar Creek Project, which funds Dr. David Tillman and Dr. Jason Hill's groundbreaking research on prairie plants being used for biomass and biofuels and carbon sequestration, and a pyrolysis pilot project, which is a gasifier which will be taken around to different plots across Minnesota to try to take perennial crops and turn them into synthetic gas or biofuels. We continued funding for the Minnesota County Biological Survey, the soil surveys, and funded a field guide for evaluating the restoration of wetlands and other data collection mapping. And we have a set aside for an emerging issues account. And then most of the rest of the language is existing language. We did add some language in the bill that emphasizes the importance of leveraging funds, that's subdivision 9 on page 15, so that state dollars are maximized in their leveraging potential. And finally, section 3 at the very end of the bill is a policy section that relates to the public meeting laws. And this is changes that were developed after very intensive discussion within the LCCMR membership and legislative staff, who advised us about how to update public meeting laws so that on a commission that consists of legislators and citizens who are not legislators, that we have appropriate rules for both, so legislators are covered by our traditional open meeting laws and citizens have a slightly we recognize that citizens are participating in the application of the law. And that's the bill, and I'd be happy to take any questions from members.
Senator Anderson, we weren't certain here at the front desk that you made the appropriate motion before the discussion, so just to make sure we're in good order, would you make that motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that House File 293 be recommended to pass.
Thank you, Senator Anderson. You've heard Senator Anderson's motion and the explanation of this bill. Is there discussion on House File 293? Is there any discussion on House File 293? Senator Parasol.
Mr. President, I have heard a few comments from some people who are concerned about the makeup of the LCCMR and that they're concerned that there might be some influence on there that there wasn't before. And I said, that's part of the reformed model that happened last year. And I want to put people's mind to rest that this is a bill that has passed muster in both houses, and the LCCMR has done a very good job pulling it together, and I'd suggest you do vote for it.
Thank you, Senator Parasol. Further discussion on House File 293. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Anderson has moved that when this committee do arise, House File 293 be recommended to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. And Senator Pogemiller, we are at the end of our general orders.
Mr.
List.
Chairman, there's a list number two coming out right now with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. With 11 bills that hopefully can take us up to the lunch hour. And start with number 49 in special orders. Senator Moi promises us that this is her last bill. So I'd like to yield to Senator Moi. Then Senator Latz, number 19, will be next. Senator Rest, number 21. Then a couple bills from Senator Wergen. And then a few bills from Senator Rest.
On general orders list number 2, the committee has before it number 49 on general orders, Senate File 986. Senator Ma.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 986 be recommended to pass.
Senator Ma, on that motion.
Mr. Chair, members, Senate File 986 is a tiny technical amendment that came from the department. They asked me to help make some changes to the definition of the word convictions. This definition under current Minnesota law does not fully meet the requirements of the federal definition, and this change would allow Minnesota to be in full compliance with federal regulations. And that's it. So.
Is there discussion on Senate File 986? The chair recognizes Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Moi, it's a very technical question. I have no clue what nolo contendere means. I'm not an attorney.
Senator Moi, did you hear the question?
Mr. Chair and Senator Wergen, nolo contendere means that you're not contesting it.
Thank you, Senator Moi.
Further discussion on Senate File 986. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Moi has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 986 be recommended to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 19 on general orders, Senate File 924. Chair recognizes Senator Latz.
Mr. Chairman, members, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 924 be recommended to pass.
Senator Latz, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill would require that the Minnesota Department of Transportation on an annual basis submit a report to the legislature on the status of the major highway projects in Minnesota. This status report would cover all projects under construction or planned during the year of the report and for the next 15 years. The report would include a description of the project, a history of that project, going back to the time when that construction project was first put into the plans, the priority listing or rank of that project within the construction district, including the reasons for that listing, that priority ranking, the criteria used in that prioritization, any changes that have been made in that priority ranking, and the reasons for those changes, and the past and potential future reasons for delay in the project's letting or completion. This would give the public a look into the black box of MnDOT's decision-making process. It would provide a little bit of sunshine so that everyone who wants to know where and why their construction projects are being listed for completion, that we have a place that we can turn to. And we will give the public hopefully more confidence in understanding how MnDOT makes its decisions with regard to the prioritization of major highway projects in Minnesota. That's the bill, and I'd be glad to stand for any questions.
Is there discussion on Senate File 924? Discussion on Senate File 924. Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Latz has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 924 be recommended to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 21 on general orders, Senate File 1509. Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1509 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on that motion.
Thank you. Senate File 1509 is a local bill for Hennepin County that relates to the design build process of constructing buildings, roads, and bridges. Hennepin County got the design bill authority in 2002, and at the time, 5 years ago, the process was not well established. So the legislature required Hennepin County to simply act as a demonstration project and limited the legislation to 5 years. Senate File 1509 lifts the restriction and repeals the sunset date, and it makes some minor changes to definitions. Also, it was amended in committee to require that the number of design-build contracts awarded by the county board not be more than 10% of its total projects in any fiscal year, which is the same standard that's set for the state, as I understand it. And I would stand for questions.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1509? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1509 be recommended to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 47 on general orders, Senate File 1388. Chair recognizes Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1388 be recommended to pass.
Senator Wergen, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 1388 is the commercial feeds bill from the Department of Agriculture. It basically cleans up the language, telling us a little more closely what commercial feeds are. And when we talk about commercial feeds, members, these are non-human consumption feeds. They are animal feeds that we're talking about. It clarifies when an administrative citation can be handed out for a violation of the commercial feeds law. It goes on then to more clearly identify what is meant by feed, in other words, for animals. It changes slightly the label for manufacturer, making it more clear to the to the purchaser what is in the commercial feed. It cleans up when licensure is needed for commercial feed practices. It adds a quantity statement to the label for commercial feeds. And it clarifies who has to pay an inspection fee for commercial feeds. That's the extent of the bill, members. Thank you.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1388? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Wergen has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1388 be recommended to pass. Those in support of the motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion carries. The committee has before it now number 48 on general orders, Senate File 1285. The chair recognizes Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1285 be recommended to pass.
Senator Wergen, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In Minnesota, we have a chemical spills cleanup fund, and this cleanup fund needs to be clarified as to when it can be used. It was designed, for instance, so that when a farmer had a small spill on the land or on a county road or something like that, that this fund was accessible for those small chemical cleanup purposes. However, the way it's written, it could be interpreted as such that, for instance, if there were a train that had an accident on the rail and there was a major chemical spill, that this fund could be accessed. That's not what it was intended for. These folks have insurance to clean up the spills on the railroad or on the trucking industry or something like that. So this just clarifies that this chemical spills fund is to be used for small projects with individual persons, such as an agricultural business. Thank you.
Is there a discussion on Senate File 1285? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Wergen has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1285 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. She wants to take up 25.
20. She's waiting for an amendment on 1377, so she can just take up the next one.
Okay. The committee will take one bill a little out of order because of the waiting for an amendment.
We do have it now. We do have the amendment. So go ahead with 1377.
Senator Rest, I'm told that your amendment is at the desk now. So the committee has before it number 24 on general orders, Senate File 1377. Chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1377 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest on that motion.
Mr. Chairman, I have the A4 amendment.
The Secretary report the A4 amendment.
Senator Rest moves to amend Senate File 1377 as follows, page 8, line 12. This is the A-4 amendment.
Senator Rest on your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill generally deals with updating the provisions and the expiration dates of state boards and advisory groups that Representative Tinkelstad and I have been working on for some time. And what we are doing with the amendment, there was one group whose statutory reference was to be repealed, and we found out it actually is a working group, and so we are deleting the reference to the advisory committee on for the state fire marshal and pipeline safety group from the bill. So I appreciate your support on the amendment.
Is there a discussion on the A4 amendment? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. All those in favor of adopting the A4 amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment's adopted. Senator Rest on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What Senate File 1377 does is to reflect the work that has been done to look through the statutes, to contact all the state agencies, to ask them to look at the statutory references to advisory groups on state boards, et cetera, and those that either have already been repealed or obsolete, that we get that language out of the statutes. And so that's what Senate File 1377 does. It makes a general changes relating to boards and advisory groups, setting up a general expiration date for them unless they are otherwise stated as July 30th from 2009. Previously, it had been June 30th of 2003. Then it makes some conforming changes in the statutes with regard to those laws and then lists those boards who actually were repealed June 30th of 2003 and gets the reference to them out of the statutes.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1377? Is there discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1377, as amended, be recommended to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion's adopted. The committee has before it now number 25 on general orders, Senate File 1528. The chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1528 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is also a bill that deals with Hennepin County. It's Housing and Redevelopment Authority. It modifies the Hennepin County chapter of law by providing that the county HRA authority may extend its area of operation to include a city that is under the power of the City Housing and Redevelopment Authority. When the HRA authority was first given, there was some concern about conflict between the cities within Hennepin County that had their own HRAs and the county. Those differences have been resolved. There was no opposition to the bill, and I would stand for questions. The HRA, by the way, has never imposed a levy.
Is there a discussion on Senate File 1528? The chair recognizes Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Rest yield for a question?
Senator Rest will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rest, the reason I'm raising a question is I'm not familiar with the Hennepin County HRA area, and I just wanted to know, what does the HRA do in Hennepin County? And once I know that, then I'll know whether or not they should be expanded into these other areas.
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, the Hennepin County HRA was established in 1987. As I indicated, it has not imposed any levy since that time. At the time, however, there was concern by four cities that had their own HRAs. Robbinsdale was one of them, Minneapolis, St. Louis Park, and Hopkins, I think, were the third and fourth ones. And so those cities were excluded from being subject to the levy of the county HRA. County HRA has never imposed a levy in order to conduct its projects. And so we are proposing that that be lifted from the statute. I guess I can't give you a whole list of projects that the county HRA has undertaken, but it has never abused the compromise, and the four cities that were involved are very comfortable with allowing the HRA to proceed. And the effective date, by the way, too, is contingent on local approval.
Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, thank you. Senator Rest, I'm trying to understand a little bit. I understand what a local city HRA does, especially these particular ones that are near to where I represent. Does the Hennepin County HRA, do they do the same function and mission statement as what these local entities do?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, the Hennepin County HRA has the is subject to the same kinds of provisions under the law that the other municipalities HRA are have controlled by sections in the statutes 469.01 to 469.047.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 1528? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1528 be recommended to pass. As many as are in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 28 on general orders, Senate file 1755. The chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate file 1755.
Senator Rest, would you move
that when this committee do arise, that Senate file 1755 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate file 1755 comes our way by from the United Way organizations, which asked for greater latitude in being included in the joint purchasing powers that under the joint powers of the state to be able to benefit from the purchase of needed products by being able to buy along with the state. We had some concern raised by the Department of Administration, and were able to reach a compromise that limited and made very specific those organizations that truly were charitable organizations to participate in that in those service contracts to get a benefit to them as a charity.
Chair recognizes Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Rest, I did have a question. Would she yield?
She'll yield.
Senator Rest, as I'm looking over at least the outline that I have before me on this particular bill, this provision would include charitable organizations from receiving, they could still receive grants from the state, and that this opportunity is given to just the charitable organizations that receive grants from the state? Is that how this works?
Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, under the agreement reached to limit the charities with the Department of Administration, first of all, we made some references to the statutes to define who those charities would be. So it's those that are in 16C23 who are part of the combined charitable organizations, a registered combined charitable organization, and affiliated agencies also as defined. This made it the Department of Administration more comfortable than just saying any charity could be involved, and then also those that were recipient of state grants or contracts could also participate in the joint powers provisions to purchase commodities and supplies.
Is there a further discussion on Senate File 1755? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1755 be recommended to pass. As many as support that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 27 on general orders, Senate File 1949. The chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Mr. President, Mr. Chairman, Senator Dibble indicates that he may have an amendment to this bill, so I'd like to progress it and move on to others.
Progress requested, progress granted. Chair, the committee has before it now number 83 on general orders, Senate file 1161. Chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1161 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest, on that motion.
Mr. Chairman, Senate File 1161 deals with, it's an agency bill that deals with highway contracts, regulation provisions, and some modifications to those. In particular, it removes the requirement that the Commissioner of Transportation publish bids, advertisements, and newspapers and requires instead that they be published on the internet, which is a far more efficient way of doing that. Also, that the all trunk highway contract bids be submitted electronically, removing the previous $5 million bid threshold for the provision, and it also deals again with Section 3 removes an additional requirement to publish bid advertisements in a newspaper in dealing with repair and restoration of trunk highways damaged by spring breakup. So what it is doing is modernizing the way in which contract bid regulations are implemented.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1161? Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, would Senator Rest yield for a question?
She'll yield.
Senator Rest, my concern is by sending the bids via email, how do they stay secured so they're like a sealed bid as currently done in so many arenas?
Senator Rest.
This is the publishing of the bids for the advertisement to receive bids, not the bids themselves.
Sir, further discussion on Senate File 1161. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1161 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it number 61 on general orders, Senate File 218. The chair recognizes Senator Rest.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 218 be recommended to pass.
Senator Rest on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. This bill deals with disclosure to real estate purchasers of airport zoning regulations. It was an issue in a bill that I had a year ago that raised some concerns among a number of stakeholders. I worked on it in the past year, and I think have come to a good compromise with regard to requiring the disclosure to be made to the effect that potential purchasers are referred to the county recorders, and that the realtors are required to make that disclosure to them. I know now of no opposition to this bill, and I would stand for questions.
Chair recognizes Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. President, and let me extend my appreciation to Senator Rest for bringing this bill forward. Let me also take the opportunity to enthusiastically and heartily recommend its passage. I think it does a nice job of striking the appropriate balance and in providing disclosure for those who are interested in buying property in the vicinity of airports and protecting the interests of buyers and sellers in the affected communities. It's a good bill.
Is there a further discussion on Senate File 218? Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Rest has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 218 be recommended to pass. As many as are in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller, we are at the end of this list. There were a couple progresses requested.
Mr. Chairman, there's General Orders number 3 for April 16th. Starts with number 69, Senator Senjum, Senate File 289. I'd yield to Senator Senjum. The list is being passed out.
Members, on the third list of general orders, the committee has before it number 69 on general orders, Senate file 289. The chair recognizes Senator Senjum.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate file 289 be recommended to pass.
Senator Senjum, on that motion.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate file 289 relates to the Mississippi River Parkway Commission. It is a commission which exists to promote tourism and other aspects of the Mississippi River as it moves through Minnesota. A number of members within this body have at certain times served as a member of this commission. I currently do. Senator Saxhog has. Senator Torres Ray is new on the commission. Effectively, what this bill does is extends the expiration date of the commission from June 30th, 2007. In other words, it would expire at the basically the end of this legislative session, or at least June 30th, unless we renew this. And this would take the expiration date, Mr. Chair, up to 2012, June 30th of 2012. So it's extending the expiration date of the Mississippi River Parkway Commission 5 years to June 30th, 2012.
Is there discussion on Senate File 289? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Senjum has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 289 be recommended to pass. As many as are in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 32 on general orders, House File 1594. The chair recognizes Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, that House File 1594 is recommended to pass.
Senator Lynch, on that motion.
Thank you. Members, you will note that House File 1594 is the companion to Senate File 952, and the bill was non-controversial, bipartisan in nature. And this has to do with providing some expansion and some additional flexibility with regard to military and veteran benefits.
Is there discussion on House File 1594? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Lynch has moved that when this committee do arise, House File 1594 be recommended to pass. As many as in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 95 on general orders, Senate File 44. The chair recognizes Senator Lynch.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 44 be recommended to pass.
Senator Lynch, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. Senate File 44 has to do with a change in applicants who are physicians who are trained outside of the United States, and it has to do with their licensing and the time permitted for that. Again, this bill was non-controversial in nature, had bipartisan support, and I'd stand for any questions.
Is there a discussion on Senate File 44? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Lynch has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 44 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 45 on general orders, Senate File 1260. The chair recognizes Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1260 be recommended to pass.
Senator Hahn, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members. Senate File 1260 is a bill that was brought by the Department of Agriculture. It is a department technical bill that deals with food licensing and some of the Dairy Trade Practices Act concerns. Some of you may remember that when this bill was initially introduced, there was a provision that required a change in how fluid milk is treated. Those provisions were deleted by amendment in committee. So this bill is non-controversial and was passed with no opposition through committee, and I would ask for your support.
Senator Betzold.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to call the body's attention that Senator Hand's birthday.
Duly noted. Senator Hamm.
And Mr. President, and this is my birthday present that I get to present a couple of bills on general orders.
Aww. Happy.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 1260? Hearing no further discussion, Senator Hamm has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1260 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it number 58 on general orders, Senate File 1790. The chair recognizes Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 1790 be recommended to pass.
Senator Hamm, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. And members, again, this is another bill that is essentially technical in nature. This was brought by the Department of Human Services. I'm sorry, the Department of Health and Human Services. It concerns the reporting of adverse events in the healthcare system. It makes some minor changes, for example, requiring that patients who disappear be reported, that this be acknowledged in the reporting of the institution. It used to be that the disappearance had to go on for at least 4 hours before such a report was required to be filed. It also requires reporting if there's some mistake in any artificial insemination process. So these are non-controversial technical changes to a law. This was, again, passed through committee without opposition, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1790? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Hand has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1790 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 12 on general orders, Senate File 1441. The chair recognizes Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1441 be recommended to pass.
Senator Higgins, on that motion.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this is a simple bill that would say that companies that sell paint to the public in quantities of 1 gallon or more would make available copies of the United States EPA pamphlet called Protecting Your Family from Lead. Place a poster that's visible in the paint department that informs customers that they have a right to get this brochure, and offer for sale a lead dust test kit that is capable of determining the presence of lead-based paint hazards. Members, lead poisoning is a concern for both children and adults. It can cause permanent problems with health, learning, and behavior in young children, and high blood pressure, kidney damage, and fertility problems in adults. And it is totally preventable. These items are a small step in making sure that no more children be lead poisoned. And members, it's a serious problem. Probably about 1.25 million homes in Minnesota have some lead paint in them. Ask for your support.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Higgins yield for a question?
Senator Higgins will yield.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, I just wanted to know, I'm kind of catching up to these bills. We're moving rather quick today. And I just wanted to know, do we even make lead paint anymore?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, lead-based paint has not been available for purchase since 1978 or 1980, but it's still a huge issue because of the number of homes that have it and that paint has not been covered over or removed.
Mr. President.
Senator Limmer.
Senator Higgins, as you may know, lead, like you say, lead paint hasn't been used in Minnesota for a long time, but on older homes, they certainly have a potential of being on the woodwork or on walls. I think HUD states that anything prior to 1976, that was still being offered. And I'm wondering what type of cost your bill may have on an industry. Have you gotten any type of idea what that would cost retailers to print these notices and then accompany each gallon of paint that goes out the door?
Mr. President, Senator Limmer, it is a poster that would have to be hung up. We don't say the size of the poster. It could be a simple 8.5 by 11 printed off of a laser printer. The brochures are free from the EPA, and offering for sale a test kit wouldn't cost anything to the retailer. It would just say that they have to make it available for a person to purchase it.
Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Higgins, you're aware that the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency also has documentation that is made available to the public for removal of lead paint and what precautions should be made. And we're already doing that with the PCA, and I'm just wondering, I suppose this is more at point of sale distribution opportunity rather than check a internet site or make a phone call to the PCA, or for that matter, if you're scraping paint off a house on the outside and a building inspector happens to drive by, they may want to see how you're collecting those lead paint chips that are falling into the grass. Did the committee understand that these notices are already available through state government through the PCA?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Limmer, they're actually available through the Department of Health. And the Department of Health has a great website that gives a lot of information and flyers that can be printed out to help to give direction to people who are doing all those sorts of things that you were just talking about. But this is just one more way that people, when they're thinking about paint, when they're thinking about remodeling their house, doing all those things, can get one more reminder about the hazards of lead-based paint. And if they have a home, like you said, built before 1978, they'll want to think about that. My house was built in 1900. We have, there's a lot of lead-based paint in that big old house, and little by little, we're working our way through it. But somebody who's buying their first home, who may have small children, may not know that issue exists, and so this is one more way to help them to take care of it. Ask for your support.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And would Senator Higgins continue to be responsive to a question?
Senator Higgins will yield.
Thank you. Mr. President, and Senator Higgins, the question I have refers to point three of your bill, the dust test kit. And I'm wondering, I know we had a bill, I think that was yours, that came to the Health Committee, slightly different, but dealing with lead paint and abatement and testing. And we had a fairly lengthy discussion about this procedure to test paint, and there was some debate about the usefulness of this kind of test and the cost of doing it. And I'm just curious if this is the same test that we were debating in Health Committee that you're putting in the bill here that would be a requirement for people to, or not required apparently, but required that they offer for sale that kit. Is that the same test?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, there are several test kits available. Yes, I remember the debate that we had in the Health Committee, and I think we had some more stringent language in the Health Committee at one time. This is now just saying, please offer these test kits for purchase, so that if somebody wants to use them, they're available for purchase.
Senator Hamm.
And so, Mr. President, Senator Hagan, so your bill would require that the retailer offer for sale the kit as a separate item, not that it be required purchase every time or would they be required to, at the time of a lead paint purchase, to say, here's the kit and consider buying that, or is it just going to be out on the shelf and people can get it if they want, or how would that work?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, one more time. You can't buy lead paint now. So it isn't like you said, when you go to buy lead base paint, you have to get this thing. No. It's that they have to offer it for purchase. That's all. You don't have to, you know, be out there promoting it, but I'd like it that they didn't, like, bury it in the bottom shelf back behind something else either.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would Senator Higgins yield for a question?
Senator Higgins will yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Higgins, I was curious about the definition of what it means to offer copies on line 8 of the text. It's a very, very short bill. It says that one of the requirements is to offer copies of the pamphlet that we're talking about. Does that mean, by offer, does that mean you have to have a stack of them behind the counter, and when someone is checking out, you say, here is your lead paint pamphlet? Or does it mean you can just simply have a rack and make them available, you know, with the paint, so someone can take one if they're interested? I mean, do you have to make them leave the store with a pamphlet? What exactly does it mean to offer copies?
Mr. Chair, Senator Gerlach, what do you think it means?
Senator Gerlach.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Senator Higgins, it doesn't matter what I think it means. What it matters is what an attorney thinks it means when a retailer ends up in court. I don't mean to be antagonistic about this. I just want to know, you know, does it, you know, to say offer copies, does that mean that you, I mean, if you had a rack in there and you had them made available with the sign says, here, take one, and someone bought some paint, they left the store, they didn't take one, and then there are problems as they're stripping off the old lead paint, and then they hire an attorney and they come back and they say, well, the retailer never offered me the pamphlet. I'm just wondering, what is the definition in your mind or your intent, you know, what is the author's intent on what offer means? What is the true responsibilities of the retailer?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gerlach, in my way of thinking, if they have a pile on the counter at Home Depot or the paint store down the closest to your house, or if they have a rack of, you know, information about various things, that would be a good place to put it. If an employee wanted to go to the trouble of saying, here's a new brochure that we have, that'd be fine, but we're not telling them to do that. It's just having it available. And, I think this is about as gentle a bill as we could put by saying, please make this information available.
Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Higgins, I'm wondering if you would entertain a very simple amendment to strike the word offer and just insert the words make available. How would you feel about that?
Senator Higgins?
Mr. Chair, I think they both mean the same thing, so if that makes it more clear to members, that would be fine.
Senator Gerlach?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, then. Am I allowed to make an oral amendment of just changing those couple of words, or do I have to submit that in writing?
Senator Gerlach, the rule is that they be in writing, but this sounds fairly simple to incorporate, so why don't we try doing it orally? Make your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, then I would make a motion to amend the bill on line 1.8, strike offer and insert make available.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Gerlach moves to amend Senate File 1441 as follows. On page 1, line 8, or 1.8, delete the word offer and insert the words make available. Is that correct, Senator?
That is correct.
Okay. And discussion on that motion to amend.
Mr. Chair, that's fine.
Senator Gerlach has moved to amend page 1, line 8, delete offer and insert make available. Discussion? Hearing no discussion, proceed to vote. All those in favor of the amendment indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment's adopted. Further discussion on Senate File 1441. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. President. And would Senator Higgins continue to be available?
Senator Higgins will continue to yield.
Thank you. And thank you, Mr. President. We'll try not to carry this on too long. I just, Senator Higgins, question, is there any penalty for retailers who do not comply with the provisions of this law?
Senator Higgins was not able to hear your question. Would you restate it, please?
Thank you, Mr. President, and I'll try again. Is there a penalty to a retailer who fails to comply with the provisions of this bill?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, I believe since we don't say it, it would be the default penalty of a, and Senator Betzold can probably correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's a petty misdemeanor.
Senator Hahn.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear, Mr. President.
Senator Higgins, Senator Hahn did not hear your response.
We're doing well today on the hearing part, aren't we? Mr. Chair, Senator Hahn, I believe that if we don't state what a penalty is, there is a default penalty, and that would be a petty misdemeanor, I believe.
Senator Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. President. The reason I ask is that I'm a little concerned about Section 3 of the bill, in that I know out in some of the suburban areas that are relatively new, growing, the chances of anybody being exposed to any kind of lead paint is probably very low. And we do have a lot of self-help hardware-type stores out in the area that are selling all kinds of paint. And to require that they handle a particular product, there may be an attempt to do that, and they may at some point not reorder that, or they may never sell one and may get displaced somewhere in the store. And I'm just wondering what kind of penalty they would fall subject to if it was discovered that they were not doing that. And I think the other thing on the test kit, and again, maybe you can help refresh my memory, but it seemed that one of the things that we had in the health committee in the debate of this was that there was some dispute about whether or not these kits are able to determine that there is a hazard. That was one of the issues that we talked about, that when they do these dusting, that you can detect the presence of lead, but you may not be able to detect whether or not it's a hazard. You may not be able to detect whether it's from the paint or from the environment, and so I guess the other question would be, is there really a test kit that can determine that there is a hazard that's due to the paint itself?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I didn't hear the last sentence. I was doing good till the last sentence.
Senator Hahn, would you repeat the last
sentence? Sure, thank you, Mr. President. And Senator Higgins, I'm just trying to recall the debate we had in Health Committee where we were talking about these test kits, and my recollection was that part of the debate was the inability of these dusting processes to really determine whether or not there is a lead paint hazard, a lead-based paint hazard, that they can sometimes detect the presence of lead on a windowsill or someplace in the building, but it could have come in from the environment or it could have come in from who knows where. And in fact, the person talking about this said that the best way to protect against any kind of issue with lead is for people to wash their hands when they come in from outside, or if they're in a home where they have old paint, to just make sure it gets dusted and wiped down frequently. But there was some question brought about whether or not these test kits really were able to determine the presence of a lead paint-based hazard, a lead-based paint hazard. And so if there is no test that meets that criterion, would they still have to comply with buying a certain kind of a kit? And or who determines that? Is it a judgment of the retailer that there's a test that exists? Or are we saying that there is one and here it is? Or I'm not sure. My recollection was the testimony was very unclear about the ability to do that.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hand, there are several different types of test kits. They will tell you whether lead is present. They won't tell you how much lead is present. But if you're doing the test kit and it comes back positive, then it would be up to the homeowner to take the next steps if they feel that it is something that concerns them. They then could go to an organization that works dealing with lead. You could go to a laboratory to tell you how much lead is present. There are several other options once you first find out.
Further discussion on Senate File 1441. Hearing no further discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Higgins has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1441 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The committee has before it now number 101 on general orders, Senate File 1735. The chair recognizes Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1735 be recommended to pass.
Senator Higgins, on that motion.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. This bill would have the Commissioner of Labor and Industry adopt rules for radon control as part of the state building code.
Is there a discussion on Senate File 1735? Discussion on Senate File 1735. Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Higgins has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1735 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. And members number 40 on our list of general orders is out for comparison. The committee has before it now number 104 on general orders, Senate File 1278. The chair recognizes Senator Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee to arise, that Senate File 1278 be recommended to pass.
Senator Metzen, on that motion.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, this is bill that's called a best value contracting bill. All the stakeholders, including the state agencies, labor, contractors, the League of Cities, the Association of Minnesota Counties, and others worked over several months to reflect the language in this bill. This legislation allows state agencies, cities, townships, school districts, and other public entities to use as an option what they call best value. Best value is a system that takes both price and performance into consideration when awarding contracts. And I think the main thing to remember here, this is not mandated in any shape or form. It is not meant to replace the current low bidding process. And if the districts and ever any other entities don't want to look at this form, just don't do it. The best value will provide the best long-term deal, some suggest, on the construction projects for Minnesota taxpayers, and it doesn't just bring into consideration the price, so we can look at other areas. We think this could benefit the taxpayers in the long run on certain construction issues. The University of Minnesota has used this about 13 or 15 times, and they like this alternative process of bidding. So urge your support.
Is there discussion on Senate File 1278? Is there discussion? Hearing no discussion, we'll proceed to vote. Senator Metzen has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 1278 be recommended to pass. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator
I would
Paul
move
Miller.
That the committee do now arise and report.
The Senator Pogemiller has moved that the committee do now arise and report. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The Senate will come to order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, I move the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Do we need to ask him?
Senator Pogemiller, could we revert to introductions for the purpose of the bill?
Mr. President, I move that we revert to introductions.
All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. The bill introductions are all on today's agenda, members, referred as indicated. Without objections, first reading. Still on motions and resolutions, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Pogemiller. President, I would move a recess till call of the chair, and that'll be at 1:30. Call the chair at 1:30. We will start with Senator Limmer's bill that was on the first list this morning. $241, I think. And then there will be an additional list. Members, we are moving at a pretty good clip. And so we would, if you're ready to take up a bill today, please let my office know. There are some bills we may not take up today. But if we can get through all of these, we will have a fairly light load later in the week. So we will come back at 1:30 and then adjourn by hopefully 4:15. So come back at 1:30 and we'll adjourn by 4:15.
Senator Pappas?
Mr.
Recess,
President.
Recess until 1:30.
Right. Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller, your office sent out a notice that we were going to be taking breaks from 12:30 to 2 every day. And so I don't know if members have made scheduled constituent meetings or whatever. I just wanted some clarity if maybe we shouldn't do that.
Let me ask, does
Senator Pogemiller.
Does 1:30 make life difficult for anybody? Okay.
And Senator Higgins.
Well, Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, state and local. No, I don't chair that anymore. Sorry. Public Safety Budget Division will meet immediately after we recess. We have three bills to process. They shouldn't take very long in our usual room. Thank you.
Mr. President, it looks like this will work at 1:30 today, and then we'll quit by 4:15 today. Tomorrow our intent is to start at 9.
Senator Pogemiller has moved that the Senate recess to the call of the chair, which will be at about 1:30 this afternoon. All those in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The Senate is in recess.